Welcome to the Fairest Love Podcast, Single, Not Stalled, Pursuing Sanctity in Your Singleness. This podcast is for Catholic women who find themselves living the single life, whether it by choice, vocation, or circumstance. Here we believe that this time is not just a waiting period, but a season rich with purpose, growth, and grace. Join your hosts, Monica and Katie, two sisters navigating the single life from different perspectives, as we dive into conversations about faith, friendship, professional growth, and finding joy in the everyday. Let's embrace this extraordinary journey together. Hello, Katie.
Happy Holy Week.
Give me your joy. What's going on?
Okay, well, we're recording this before Holy Week, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm in Rome for Holy Week, so that is definitely, every aspect of that is a joy. So I am preemptively saying that because there is literally nothing like Easter in Rome and Holy Week in Rome.
So Kate and I have a cousin who is Protestant, like a typical proddy who's kind of jumped around between different denominations.
Yeah.
And things. But we love him so much. But he will tell you his absolute favorite destination abroad when he was studying abroad was Rome during Easter, during Holy Week. He was there and he was like, he still talks about it today.
Yeah.
It was just an incredible, incredible time. And I will say, like, I'm not a huge fan of crowds. So I was like, if one more nun elbows me, I'm going to have an issue.
Yeah.
My girl.
Yeah, throw some elbows with the nuns. That's for sure.
These nuns, they don't care. But it was such a fun time. Like the energy, the environment, like being, it's just, I'm so excited for you. Like that will absolutely be a really huge joy. And I'm envious in some ways, but
I'm very blessed. I think this is my third or fourth time being there for Easter itself. And it's just, it's just amazing. All the services in St. Peter's. Last time I went, which was 2 years ago, we managed to get tickets for the Easter Vigil in St. Peter's Basilica with the Pope, which was amazing. We were one of the only groups that did of the big group that we went with.
Yeah.
This year, we did not get any of those tickets because it's a Jubilee year. So like everyone's going to Rome. It's going to be like
everybody is in Rome this year.
It's mass chaos. Well, and Carlos Acutis is being canonized the week after. So I think so many people are going for Easter and then like staying for his canonization, which is beautiful.
That's a fast canonization.
But yeah, well, he's a pretty cool dude. Anyway, so yeah, it's going to be spectacular. I mean, the seven churches, this Holy Thursday practice of visiting seven churches in Rome, it's just, there's nothing like it because it's just, everyone's doing it.
I don't know if our listeners know this practice. There's a tradition in the church where you visit seven churches the night Holy Thursday into Good Friday.
You visit the altars of repose. So like every church kind of creates an altar of repose. They remove our Lord from the normal tabernacle, usually put him in a tabernacle on a side chapel or someplace like that. And you go visit him to like accompany him during his hours of that he was like incarcerated, basically. And you do seven in reference to the seven last words of Christ on the cross. So a lot of people go and like each church you consider one of the seven last words or phrases basically of our Lord. But yeah.
So I will say I knew none of this until later in life. All I knew as a little girl was that this was going to be a lit night. Like we were going to have so much fun. In like the most wholesome way, we got snacks that we never got before. We were allowed to drink Snapples, like whatever, all the stuff. And my family would like load up our 12-passenger van and we would be driving around Chicago, going to all these churches. So like, I don't know, you're looking anywhere from like 5 to 10 minutes in between churches because Chicago's pretty big. And you would bump into people that you knew at these different churches and then like jump into your van and you drop them off at the next church. And it was just like such a fun night. So then when I did seven churches in Rome, I was like, I mean, it's over in like 10 minutes. There's a church in every single block. You could one piazza and there's six churches in the piazza. And you're like,
Man, no, we're a little bit more strategic about it. We actually have a priest who kind of takes us around and knows different places. So he'll take us like to kind of churches you might not have heard of before or churches that have like interesting things like the head of such and such saint or whatever.
Yeah,
I think Holy Thursday to me is like one of the weirdest days in our church because It is both one of the biggest celebrations that we have with the institution of the Eucharist and the institution of the priesthood. So it's like a huge feast day. And it's also like the day our Lord is arrested and is about to die.
We're right? Like,
so it's like this classic, like sadness and joy at the same time. And so, but yeah, like it's honestly one of my favorite traditions that we have in the church. Mm-hmm. And yeah, in Rome, it's pretty spectacular overall to do. So
yeah, I'm obsessed with it. It is probably one of my favorite days of the year.
Yeah.
It is just really, it's just a fun day. Like, I just don't know how else to describe it.
It's true. Yeah. If you haven't done this practice and you're listening to this before Holy Thursday evening, may I highly suggest you find a church that has a Holy Thursday service. You go to that and then just map out 7 churches in your area. You could even count the church you're at as the first church if you wanted to. Some people do that. And just hop in your car, go, stop in, make a quick visit, like stay for 3 minutes, 5 minutes, and then go to the next church. I'm telling you, it's pretty spectacular.
It's amazing. Okay.
Yeah.
My joy is going to pale in comparison. And at this point, I think my joy is that you're in Rome and I'm so happy for you because I'm distracted. I don't even know what my joy is. I'm like thinking back to when I was in Rome, like, gosh, 11 years ago at this point. Anyways.
I'm hoping the Pope is still alive.
Oh,
I mean, he's been like in the hospital. They say he's improving, but like, I don't know. Is he going to be out of the hospital?
Funny. I was talking to somebody and I'm like, I don't know. They say he's improving. And they're like, yeah, improving for someone in their late 80s. And I'm
which pneumonia, like double lung pneumonia. Like, I mean,
how much does someone in their late 80s improve?
Actually, one of the times I was in Rome was the final Easter of John Paul II. That was one of the first times I was in Rome. And like, it was so sad because he came, he couldn't do any of the services. And then he came to the window after Easter morning service, after the mass on Easter morning, and they brought a microphone out and he had prepared remarks and he couldn't speak. And we were sitting directly behind this older couple from Poland. And when they removed the mic, because clearly he wasn't going to be able to say anything, the woman burst into tears and just like clutched her husband. And I remember thinking like, this is it. Like this is, and then he died that week. Uh-huh. So I'm like, also like, oh gosh, please. Like, we don't have to go through that again.
But I just got goosebumps.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyways, pivoting from that,
it's true.
The takeaway that we thought about or from our last episode, and if you haven't listened to it, I highly recommend because I think this is a really, Holy Week is such an interesting time in the church in that we are really called to encounter and journey with Christ through his passion. And so if you haven't listened to last week's episode, I highly encourage that because we talk about really developing a relationship with our Lord, an authentic relationship. And so I would go back and listen to that. But our takeaways or our kind of thought project was to think about how can I show up more authentically in my prayer with our Lord or in my life with our Lord? So Kate, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that or what that looked like for you.
I mean, I think for me, I really, I was thinking as I was like doing my prayer this week or praying, I don't know, I don't like the word phrase doing, but anyway, I'm doing my prayer. But as I was praying and talking to our Lord this week, I was just really thinking like, sometimes I will get like down on myself when, I don't know, like I'll repeat the same thing a couple times or like I keep kind of going back to the same thought or keep getting distracted by the same thing. And instead I was a little bit like, I don't know. Sometimes that's what happens when you're having a conversation with someone, right? Like, I mean, this happens all the time. Like when all the girls in our family get together and like, you're talking about something and then someone's like, wait, I have to tell you about this other thing. Right. And like, you get distracted, you get sidetracked. And then you're like, okay, now back to what we were talking about. Right. Yeah. And I think that, again, like when you're in relationship with someone that happens and that's like a normal, natural part, and it's not something to be down on. Mm-hmm. And obviously I'm not saying like every distraction, just let in and let it roll, but to not be down on that fact or to be like, this is normal. Like this is what happens in relationships and conversations and, you know, that kind of thing. So
I love that. I am a verbal processor and this has become so bloody apparent as I live alone because I walk around my apartment. No, seriously, I walk around my apartment and I talk to myself out loud. Isn't this funny?
Wow.
But I'm a verbal processor. So to figure things out, I like have to almost like hear myself. And I will even say I like rehearse conversations or if I know like for example, like I have this one spiritual director in my life who, like, he's known me since I was probably 3 years old. He's absolutely a father figure in my life. Sometimes I trust his advice more than my own father. So
yeah,
he's wonderful. And so sometimes I imagine having conversations with him, like, what would he say? Talking about, and I realized, like, I do this with a lot of people in my life where I'm imagining a conversation with them and I'm talking it out with them, except they're not there, guys. I'm talking to myself alone in my apartment. I'm okay, I promise. But I realized, like, I can be doing that with our Lord, like, throughout the day instead of these, like, real humans in my life. Although, like, it's important, like, their perspective, you know, whatever, hearing their voice is good for me. But, sure. Like, talking to him just casually throughout the day, like, as I'm, like, scuttling through my apartment and, like, doing various things and maybe trying to kind of work through or talk through a problem or an issue or a thing that's happening, and being like, well, instead of being, like, I can just imagine him, right? And talking to him about it and just, like, really authentically being like, hey, Lord. So, anyways, what I was saying earlier, kind of stuck on this thing, you know? And, like, anyways, it's really stupid, but this is.
I love that. Actually, it's reminding me, one of the first centers I moved into, the director I thought was always talking to herself. She probably was one of these verbal processors as well. Because, like, I would just, like, walk through the hall and I would just hear her talking, but I, like, knew I was the only other one home, like, at the time or whatever. And then one day I realized, like, she was, like, talking to our Lord or, like, talking to St. Jose Maria or, like, talking to her mom who had passed, like, those kinds of things. And I was like, oh, like, this makes so much sense, because she had, like, such a deep relationship with our Lord. And, like, it was just so clear from the advice that she would give or the talks that she would give. And I was like, oh, this is why. Like, she's, like, literally talking to him throughout the day.
Yeah.
Aloud, not just in her head, but, like, aloud.
No, I mean, and she probably is a verbal processor, which is why it, like,
actually she liked to talk a lot. So probably.
Yeah. See, so it's like, I can't even make heads or tails of my prayer, which is why, honestly, if I'm, like, in adoration, like, I'm not praying relationally in the same way. Like, adoration to me is a more imaginative see and be seen process, to rest and abide in, to rest my head on our Lord's shoulders. And I imagine that. And it's an imagery. I can't talk to you because there's four other people in this building and they're going to look at me. I hate when people do that. I'm not going to be the one who does it. Like, quiet, silence. But anyways, so I don't know. There's a time and a place for everything.
I love this. So we thought this week, since it's the last week of Lent, really, that we would talk a little bit about, you know, those Lenten resolutions, those things that you've been working on so that you are a different person come Easter Sunday than you were on Ash Wednesday. And how do we kind of take those things and continue after Lent? And maybe not in the same spirit of intense mortification, but, you know, how do we continue some of these areas in which we were living a more mortified life or maybe a more contemplative life in the middle of the world, right? And how do we continue that after the fact?
Yeah, this is reminding me of the people who go through fad diets versus lifestyle changes.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Where, like, the idea of Lent is that we went through a change.
Right.
An encounter, an experience, a change, a transformation. That to some degree there was depth. And right. That oftentimes depth and that kind of training has to be maintained or sustained. And so what's funny is I think you actually follow this girl on Instagram too, but she posted this, like, funny reel. I think she's got, like, she's in an interracial marriage. She's got, like, 7-8 kids. She's got a lot
of kids. I love this girl.
They're, like, very Christian, I
so,
think.
So odd, but
she just
great.
Got super, yeah, she's so quirky. She just got really fit. And then, but she posted this funny reel and she was just like, the biggest myth or, like, the biggest, like, you know, confusion is when you realize, like, you got fit, but now you have to maintain it. Like, it's like you worked really hard to get here and now you got to stay there.
Yeah.
And so the same too is with our relationship with God and with these kind of spiritual practices is that, like, nailed it, freaking nailed those 40 days, got into a better place with him, did that, da da da. And it's like, cool. It's a lifestyle.
Right.
What are you going to take away and maintain
right
after Lent?
Well, and I this always makes me think, and I think it's, you know, like a professional hazard, but one of my biggest pet peeves is people who give up social media for Lent. And I know, I understand why it can be really good to do, etc. But what cracks me up is, and we see this every single year, all of our accounts that we run, they see a significant dip in engagement and in all of that, in, you know, followers, whatever, during the time of Lent. And then literally Easter Sunday happens and everything shoots back up to being normal or more than what it was before. And that always makes me think, those are people who gave it up just to be able to say, I gave it up for Lent, but didn't, not that you, okay, I don't think you should give it up forever, but I mean, for some people, maybe you need to, but like that it didn't become a lifestyle, right? That they didn't learn moderation with it.
Sure. That
they just like came back and they're like all out, going ham, back in. And like, okay, but then what changed? Like, how did you grow or how did you mature in your use of social media? Anyway, that's
But it's the same as anything else. I mean, I'm thinking of, we were just talking about Easter and the year that I was in Rome for Easter. I had given up chocolate or like sugar. And the place we were staying at packed our lunches every day. And like, low-key a massive chocolate bar every day. And I was like, I can't eat this. And so I just would steal them away in my backpack. I'd be like, okay, for another time. And I swear, like Easter vigil, like that mask gets out, we're running through the streets of Rome and I'm eating chocolate bars, just like going ham. And just like, okay, yeah, there's a time to celebrate and party and like have a great time. But I think that one of the things I think that would be interesting to consider is, you know, in my Lenten practice, like what were kind of the spiritual or kind of more existential takeaways? Like, I'm not saying don't drink, and I'm not saying don't be on social media, and I'm not saying that you have to continue your mortification and your Lenten practice. Like, you don't. But the question is, like, what was that takeaway? What was the depth in which I grew? Or how did I deepen my faith or deepen this aspect of my life or so forth? And how do I maintain that?
Sure. Yeah. Or how can I take something that I had given up and think, okay, how can I continue this on occasion? Like, how can I, you know, San Jose Maria used to always say, like, every day should be seasoned with mortification, like seasoned with a little bit, you know, like we put a little salt on stuff. And to think like, okay, like maybe you give up alcohol, right? For all of Lent, you're like, I'm not drinking. Okay, that's great. Maybe you're going to continue that, except when you're out with friends. And when you're out with friends, like you'll enjoy, you know, have a drink and all that kind of stuff. But like, maybe you're not drinking at home then.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And like, that could be something small, but it's keeping a little bit of that mortification, a little bit of that spirit of like, I'm giving this to you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, not like, I don't know, causing a riff in your friend group. Cause you're like, I can't do that anymore. Like, no. I'm not drinking ever again. I mean, whatever. Or
you just have two.
Right.
You just have two, which is like, that's actually low key harder for me. Like, I get a taste of something. It's easier for me to say zero. No, I'm not drinking. And like, okay, I can easily do that. It's like, I'm having just one. I'm having only two. Oh,
yeah.
But we're having fun now. And yeah, now exactly. Like, you know, all this stuff. One time I had this priest. He was like, you know, Monica, it's okay. Sometimes when you order your coffee, to just get the smaller size. I was like, what? It's like, no, still get the coffee.
But I don't want a tall. Who drinks a tall? Yeah.
Like, who the hell pays that much money for a tall? Like, you know what I mean? Look, just like such small, subtle ways. And what's so funny is that, and I love when psychology catches up to Catholicism. They always do eventually.
Yeah.
But it's like these small acts of self-denial and self-mastery actually create a much stronger individual who actually has a happier and healthier life than the person who cannot delay gratification, the person who has no impulse control, the person who has no self-mastery. And so, look, I mean, we can argue in any kind of aspect why these things are really good for us to continue to maintain and sustain throughout our life.
Yep.
Not just spiritually so, but that everything, and I think this is why like this argument of science proves that there's a divine architect, a divine engineer in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's like everything has spiritual and natural benefit.
Yep.
And that they mirror each other really very beautifully. And so, you know, I think thinking about like, well, what were the natural benefits that I received? and what parallel of spiritual benefits and depth did I get?
Mm-hmm.
And what are ways that I can take that into? So some of you may not have given up something. You may have added something. Like, I know people sure. who add like a spiritual reading into their practice or whatever. And so they may look at that and say, like, I grew in like knowledge and understanding and depth of like our faith and relationship with God. And so like, sure. I want to implement that like 3 times a week, or I'm going to start listening to a podcast in order to do X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. And I think that that would be just as beneficial as giving something up, as adding things in.
Yeah. I do have to say, like, to your point of like, that when we continue to give things up, right, like we're kind of building that spiritual muscle, also that like human muscle of like being able to say no, right, and being able to deny ourselves things, which is really important and helpful. I always think of this story, and I've told this a lot, especially when I have to give like holy purity talks or whatever, but I had a friend back in the day who, like, she was talking about this boy that she was kind of seeing, and like it was clear they were sleeping together. And so I like just asked her outright, because I was like, hey, like, what's the deal? Like, are you guys sleeping together? And she was like, how did you know? And I was like, well, it's pretty obvious. But her, after she got over the fact that I had figured that out, she's like, well, let's just say he's not the first. And she was in high school at the time. And I was like, okay, like, cool. I was like, what number is he? And she's like, I don't know, probably like 10.
Mm-hmm.
As a senior in high school. And I was like, whoa, okay, cool. So like, let's talk about this. So like, the more we talked about it and kind of got into it, she said to me, and I was like, what, like, what happened? Like, what happened that like, you know, 10 or so guys and whatnot. And she was like, I don't think I have the word no in my vocabulary. So when they asked, I couldn't say that.
Oh.
And it really struck me, and it still strikes me today. Cause I think like, she acknowledged, like, she never denies herself, and she never denied herself anything. Mm-hmm. Like, if she wanted new makeup, she went out and bought new makeup. If she wanted a Coke, she got a Coke. If she wanted a Starbucks, she got a Starbucks, right? Like, she just gave herself whatever she felt like, whatever whim came her way. And so then when harder things came up to say no to, she didn't have that muscle, right? Yeah. And so because she didn't have that muscle, she was living a very, and like, she acknowledged like a very sad kind of life that she was like, couldn't figure out how to get out of, like, couldn't figure out how to get out of this vortex of just sleeping with men and, well, boys really, and like, you know, that kind of a thing. And I think the same for us, to think like, when we practice that muscle, when we grow that no muscle, we're able to, you know, say no to the things that really are bringing us away from God, and say yes to the things that bring us closer to Him.
And I will say, as single women, we can have a very comfortable life if we so choose.
Totally.
Right? But that marriage, living in community, like, whatever path God takes you on in that singleness towards a different end, towards community, towards that vocation, towards marriage, like, that's going to hit you like a ton of bricks, insofar as like, if you are not comfortable with discomfort and denying mm-hmm. yourself, good luck being a mom and a wife. Yeah. Like, that's going to suck. Like, you're going to have to constantly get up. You're going to have it through the night. You're going to constantly have to die to yourself to live for your spouse, like living in community with others. You're going to have to put their needs, their wants, their hopes, da da da, above your own sometimes.
Yeah.
You're not going to have, like, the thermostat is not going to be what you want it to be. You're not going to get the room you want. I don't know. Like, there's so, yeah,
you're not going to sleep on the side of the bed you want, you're, or whatever, or you're not going to have the room you want. Like, it, that's just
right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, part of it is that in intentionally choosing kind of mortifications or even positive things to add into my life, I actually, and this sounds like kind of counterintuitive, but the harder I make it, the easier I make my life.
Mm-hmm.
The more comfort I seek, the more gratification I seek, the harder life becomes, because life is hard. And so you're kind of just putting yourself into this false reality, this false sense of kind of comfort and complacency. So then the second life actually gets difficult and you encounter natural difficulties and discomforts,
mm-hmm.
we don't handle it well.
Right.
Because we haven't practiced.
Right. And I think, you know, that's why I think there's so much like discontent in our world today, because we're constantly fed through marketing and like the media, these like, treat yourself, you deserve it, you need this, you whatever, good day, bad day, indifferent day, like, treat yourself, right? If you start noticing just the phrasing of ads, especially for food related stuff. Like it's fascinating, right? Like I was talking to someone about this the other day, and like we were at a hotel, and the hotel's cups, like the paper cups for their coffee, they're like generic cruddy coffee that's like lukewarm, right? That you just like get at the reception desk. And the cup said, go ahead, refill, you deserve another.
Yeah. And we're going to look at that and we're going to say, yeah.
Yeah, I do. It's been a rough day. Yeah. I didn't sleep well last night. This hotel, man, get me up, right? Like, and we, as opposed to like, what? I don't deserve another. I don't deserve what? Like, what? There's no, like,
what? Is an interesting word. Yeah. Interesting wordplay.
Exactly. So I think, yeah. So being able to deny ourselves and continue thinking of those little things, or being able to maybe not deny ourselves, but align ourselves more with our Lord. Like if you started a spiritual reading practice, or maybe you were doing the hollow, you know, the Lenten challenge, maybe now you're going to continue doing something like that. And you're going to find something else to listen to.
Right. Where you give up social media and you say, do you know what? I'm actually going to spend the first and last hour of my day off of it.
Right.
It's that simple, right? Where you're like, what are the benefits that I took from this? How can I implement them in a moderate way in this season? And that may be that I don't spend, and I will tell you, like, I know for a fact when I start my day on social media versus when I don't, like, that the trajectory of my day, like, I have either made my day much harder or I've made my day easier. And it's insane to me. Like,
I think, well, we should do a whole episode on social media, but I think that is a really good social experiment to spend one whole week getting on, like doing your normal thing, getting on social media even before you get out of bed, before you use the bathroom, which is like the average for most people, and just see, like just documenting how you feel throughout the day and how much time you spend on it, and then do a week in which you don't, you at least spend the first hour not on social media, and then and document how you feel that week. Like it is a shocking difference that most people will not realize.
Yeah, I mean, and there is so much. I mean, I think Huberman has like a bunch of research on this, and even like Willpower Doesn't Work, I think, by Benjamin Hardy. Like he talks a lot. Yeah, he talks a lot about this idea as well, that, you know, essentially, like, as human beings, it's really difficult to go from easy to hard. It's okay. It's easy to go hard to hard, or extremely hard to hard. Like we can titrate down. It's difficult to ramp up.
Yeah.
So if you start your day so like just crashing your dopamine center by getting on social media and starting it like really lazy and complacent, good luck. Yep. Good luck getting to the rest of the crap that needs to be done. Like it'll actually be easier if you kind of start your day off in like a positive or like medium to difficult direction than soft and easy. But
yeah,
not the point of today's episode.
No, but I think it brings up a good point, is like, okay, like look at the things that you did for Lent, the things you added, the things you subtracted, whatever, right? And consider like, okay, which of these either practices or ideas do you want to become a normal part of your life, right? Like what has helped you become a different person today than you were on Ash Wednesday? And then think like, okay, like how if I do this or tweak this or add this to my life from now until next Ash Wednesday, how will I be a different person then? Mm-hmm. And like, how will that bring me closer to our Lord? And like,
really interesting thought.
Ultimately closer to our Lord, not just a different person.
Yeah. I will say I gave up music in the car.
Oh yeah.
Which has been incredibly difficult. Incredibly difficult. And I think one of the takeaways is like that I don't need to, the first reaction does not need to be to fill silence. Voice. And that those are opportunities to call people or to call God.
Yeah.
And that I can encounter someone instead of just music and drowning it out. And not every time, like sometimes I need to listen to music and just like cut the noise and, you know, whatever. But I think there's a lot of, the hope is that through Lent and particularly in Holy Week, like we're being really reflective and introspective so that these like fruits that we've hopefully received in this time, those seeds that we planted, we can continue to water and harvest. And, and we're not going to do that unless we slow down to reflect on like, what did I take away? Like, what did I learn? What did I not learn? What worked? What didn't work? Like, in what ways did I personally and naturally grow? What ways did I grow? spiritually and in relationship with God, and kind of the willingness to like pause and reflect and do that thought exercise.
Yeah. I think too, I like to think of it a little bit like, you know, the things that you do or the things you give up for Lent is a little bit like you're becoming Simon of Cyrene, right? Like you're helping our Lord carry the cross. Like that's ultimately what the idea is, right? So like, how can you continue to be Simon throughout the year, right? Like how do we continue to help our Lord carry this burden that we've added to and that everyone in the world for all of time has added to? How can I continue to be, you know, to be that Simon of Cyrene walking alongside our Lord? And like one of the things that I love the most about Simon of Cyrene, I find him fascinating. But that like he's known for that and that's it. Like it doesn't even say if he converted. It doesn't like we assume. I mean, you would assume, right? I mean, I think he's called Saint Simon of Cyrene, but like we don't ever hear again in the gospel that he like converted. But we do hear about his sons, and his sons were revered because they became Christians and because of what their father had done for the Lord, right? And so to me, that's like just crazy to think of that, like his sons, they were like, oh man, you guys are the sons of Simon of Cyrene. Like
that is Simon.
Amazing, right? Like, and here's Simon like forced to carry the cross of Christ, right? Yeah. Like anyway. But yeah.
Yeah, that is beautiful.
It is fascinating.
Oh my gosh. I love that.
I know. So yeah, we're keeping this one short and sweet since it's Holy Week. Probably not a lot of people are going to be, well, maybe you'll listen a little bit, but a lot of people give up a lot of extra things this week during Holy Week.
They do?
Yeah. A lot of people like go hardcore and like don't listen to anything and don't, you know, like really, I don't know, maybe not.
Mediocre Catholic. Yikes.
No, but like I can remember even when we were young, like dad being like, you shouldn't chew gum during like Holy Week. And being
maybe that's why I'm like,
no radio. Like we saw like not do anything.
I mean, I don't know, like I struggle with that, right? Because this is actually like the happiest season. And this is like the kind of in some sense this like oxymoron, right? In Catholicism that like our greatest celebration. And we talked about this at the beginning of the episode that Holy Thursday is like the greatest, one of the greatest solemnities in the church. Like this is massive. And there's a component of sorrow and suffering, right? And that like in the church, our greatest triumph, our biggest victory is death. And so like, I don't know, I look at this and I'm like, shouldn't we be celebrating this week? Like, this is big news. And then other people are like, mortify yourself. And I'm like, oh God, which one is it?
Well, like, it is really interesting that actually the like 40 days of Lent do not include Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday.
It's its own season. The Triduum is its own season. Yeah.
Like it's your 40 days are actually up on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Before Holy Thursday, because Holy Thursday is meant to be like a really big celebration. Although Friday and Saturday are meant to be a little bit more somber, obviously, because our Lord has died. But yeah, it is kind of fascinating. The whole thing, I think too, this is so our faith, right? That like, even like Adam's fault, we call it like, oh, happy fault, right? Because if they hadn't eaten the apple and fallen, like Christ wouldn't have come and redeemed us. And like, God wouldn't have become man.
Yeah.
Like what? Like our faith is funky like that, you know?
I am not on board with that. I am still not pleased with Adam and Eve. I'm not. I'm
but
like,
then we get, but then we get Christ as a brother.
Works. What?
But we get Christ as a brother. We get Mary as a mother. We get so many things because of it.
Yeah. So many negatives too, Kate. Like,
well, yeah, but that. Like, still outweighs. I mean, well, maybe not outweighs.
Look, I'll get there someday.
I mean, it would be cool
today, but one day.
It's true. It would be cool to be walking in the garden with God. However, we'll
sounds
get there.
For me.
That's true. All right. All right. Well, we hope everyone has a happy, lovely Easter. Holy Week and a great Easter. We'll be back after Easter when I am back from Rome. And yeah, otherwise, we hope, you know, it's a great time for everyone. And that's it this week on Single Not Stalled. We hope this episode gave you new insights and a renewed sense of purpose in your daily life. Wherever you are on your journey, remember that God is with you, and this season is filled with opportunities to grow, flourish, and make an impact. If you're loving the podcast, please take a moment to rate and review it. It helps more women like you find our community. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Join us on social media at Single Not Stalled, or shoot us an email, singlenotstalled@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Until next time, keep living fully and walking boldly.